Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Diplomatic Enclave. I am your host, Umar Khalid. But as you know, the format of our show is to talk about the things that are important for Pakistan and for building bilateral relationship between Pakistan and other countries. We've interviewed ambassadors, we've interviewed heads of organizations, we've interviewed representatives of United Nations organizations in Pakistan as well to ask them about their point of view of what works in the favor of bilateral relationship between them in our country. Today is no exception. We have the privilege of having with us somebody who's here all the way from Russia. He's an expert on international relations. Not only that, he is an author. He has written about various important topics that include geopolitics, globalization, foreign relations, multipolarity, strategic relations, national and international security, things that are very important. And he is here at this moment to do a research on the Christian Orthodox that are present in Pakistan. We will talk about that and more with the very eminent Russian scholar, Mr. Leonid Seven. Leonid, it's a pleasure to have you here on our show.
Thank you.
Leonid, is this the first time you've come to Pakistan?
Not first time. I visited in April last year, and then in December for the conference of APRI, and now it's third time. And I spent about a week. Also, I was speaker on seminar about hybrid war, organized by Institute of Strategic Studies in Islamabad, and visited different places, doing documentary about Christian communities in Pakistan. Also, we have interest to do more documentaries, so I think it will be a long-term project.
All right. So you're here on a long-time project, and you'll be here again and again, and I hope that we continue to meet with you on these different occasions. But this time, I'll take the occasion to ask you about the different topics that are very important to us, that are very important to you as well, because you've been researching on that. Let's begin with the Christian Orthodox communities or the religious minorities in Pakistan. You met with a lot of Christians in different parts of Pakistan, and you met with them on a one-to-one basis. What was your impression of the minorities in Pakistan? Are they well settled in Pakistan? Are they happy being in Pakistan? What's your point of view?
At first, I would like to say that all of them, not depends of Roman Catholics, Protestants, or followers of Russian Orthodox Church, they are patriots of Pakistan. They have different views on religious duty, of course, because there are many denominations in Christianity. For example, Orthodox Christians differ from Roman Catholics and Protestants also. But most of them, my personal feeling that they are happy to be citizens of Pakistan, and they work closely with Pakistan society, and they feel no discrimination from the state. So it's very important, because especially Western media produce a distorted image of Christians in Pakistan, that they are oppressed, they are attacked, and so on. And this idea to do a documentary was exactly to present the real history of Christianity in Pakistan, and how Christians live now in the state of Pakistan, and during the last 10 years, and what they think about future of Pakistan.
All right. Speaking of Christianity in Pakistan, we've heard of Protestants, we've heard of Catholics, but we rarely hear of Orthodox Christians in Pakistan. Is this a new phenomenon?
Yes, it's recently a new phenomenon for some years. And personally, I was surprised when getting information that in Sargodha is a community who are followers of Russian Orthodox Church. And I visited this place and meet with Father Yosef and with member of community. And I think it's very interesting, because people have freedom to choose and to be followers of Catholicism, Protestantism, or Orthodox Christianity.
All right. Well, that's interesting as well, because you give us a perspective from a Russian point of view, from a Christian point of view as well, on how the Christians are treated in Pakistan. And you're very happy with the way they are living. And you also say that they are content with their lifestyles in Pakistan. And that is a huge change from what some Western sectors give information as far as the persecution or not of the minorities in Pakistan is concerned. Coming to your country, Russia, Pakistan and Russia last year celebrated 70 years of their friendship. Yes. We established diplomatic relations on the 1st of May 1948. Since then, we've had ups, we've had downs, but in the recent past, there's a lot of positivity emanating from both sectors as far as building relationship between the both countries is concerned. You as a Russian, how would you categorize this friendship between Pakistan and Russia?
I think this process is going slowly because of different reasons. At first, we have not experts on Pakistan and Russia. For example, in the Institute of Oriental Studies, there is no department of Pakistan, only a sector dealing with Pakistan, Pakistan culture, traditions, politics, and so on. And the same situation in our universities in different cities. Of course, some Pakistani students come to Russia. It's a very long tradition from Soviet times. But even in political establishment, there are no enough experts who can understand, really understand situation inside of Pakistan and how Pakistan interact with neighbor countries and what Pakistan would like get from relations with Russia. So it must be changed. And so it's the reason I promote this kind of activity inside of Russia. I attract more people and more attention to relations between Russia and Pakistan because Pakistan is a very important actor in Asia. Pakistan located in Rimland zone, because from geopolitical point of view, Russia is heartland and Pakistan is Rimland. It's very important to organize connectivity between these parts.
That's very interesting. Geopolitical situation and relationship between Russia and Pakistan. This is also a subject that you have delved intensely into. You've written articles on it and you've also written part of a book on geopolitics. The issue with geopolitical or geostrategic relationship between Pakistan and Russia is that it's had its ups and downs, but lately both countries have realized the importance of further fostering and developing this geopolitical relationship, as you said, that Russia is the heart and Pakistan is also a very important part of this geostrategic and geopolitical stratosphere, as we might call it. Do you feel that the efforts from both sides are strong enough to further improve on that relationship?
On one meeting in Valdai Discussion Club, our president, Mr. Putin, told to one Chinese expert that choice of new Russian relations about foreign policy was because not ideology, but because of geopolitics. It's very important because in Soviet times we followed Marxism ideology, and Marxism come to us from the West, like liberalism, for example, fascism. It's all Western ideologies, and in Russia we now try to organize school of Russian international relations because we have not. It's very important. We just to use English school of international relations, school of realism or liberalism, some elements of Marxism maybe. It just relicts. We need to organize new kind of this point of view on world war order. And I am sure that geopolitical approach will be very useful in Pakistan, also in Russia. Because, for example, United States used before many geopolitical strategies and just for own benefit, not for benefit of countries in Rimland or other regions in Africa and Latin America. So till now, they have idea fixed just to cut Russia piece by piece. And it was from the times of early 20th centuries, Halford Mackinder proposed this idea to organize buffer states around Russia and so on. And from our Eurasian point of view, school of Eurasian geopolitics, Eurasia must be united. It will be for benefits of all peoples, all countries.
All right. Now, Leonid, you talk about geopolitics, USSR and now the Russian Federation. Things have changed. Is Russia strong as it used to be in the USSR period?
USSR was a superpower. Russia is not superpower anymore. Mm. Russia is regional power, and Russia looking for another kind of world order. It may be and must be multipolar world order, not unipolar, with United States like Sharif, who are looking and give orders to other countries. And during the Cold War, we have only two superpowers, and I think we must to have about five or more centers of activity who will be responsible for regions. And I think that Pakistan may be responsible in the Asian region. Like, for example, Iran responsible in our region, and Russia will be responsible in the ex-Soviet space.
All right. Now, speaking of the new world order as you speak, what is the importance, in your point of view, of Pakistan in this new world order?
Pakistan changed our own policy, because before, United States was kind of master of Pakistan, its reality. And now Pakistan look for sovereign activity and to choose by own political will, and who will be ally and who will be in partnership with Pakistan, strategic partnership. So it's very important. And we have many common views on this kind of activity in international relations. Also because of China-Pakistan economic corridor, because of Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and because China also involvement in different projects, and because Russia would like to get access to warm waters of Indian Oceans.
Of course, Gwadar.
It may be released well, and with a kind of triangle, Pakistan, China, and Russia, it may be change the regional structure.
All right. Changing of the regional structure, when we talk about it, we cannot leave behind the United States. Now, when it comes to the United States, there's something very interesting that I'd like your point of view as a Russian about. There was a lot of rumor in the Western media about when President Trump came into power, that all his movement to come into power was somehow directly or indirectly backed by Russia. What is your point of view on that?
Some Russian oligarchs, liberal oligarchs, really supported American establishment, but not Donald Trump. They provided funds, huge money to Hillary Clinton foundations. It's true, it's real facts. And nobody predicted that Trump come to power. Only our group of analysts predicted it. During this time, I worked on Tsargrad TV, and we openly told it in our programs that Trump will win. And what is interesting, even in administration of Russian president, they have an idea that Hillary will win. And they have some changes in safer organization. Mr. Kirienko, who was director of atomic industry, Rosatom, because before he met many times with Mrs. Clinton for nuclear deals. So they decide to choose him on some post inside of administration. For future, but now President is Trump.
All right.
But the most problem, because deep state of United States just would like to organize kind of subversive actions against Russia and just run information warfare against Russia and also against some conservative powers inside of United States.
All right, that's a very interesting point of view. We're going to further delve into that, the relationship, the current relationship between the Russian Federation and the US, but after a short break, stay with us. Welcome back. You're watching Diplomatic Enclave, and I'm your host, Umar Khalid, but in conversation with the Russian author and expert on international relations, Leonid Sevin. Now, Leonid, before the break, we were talking about U.S.-Russia relations. U.S. and Russia had a Cold War period a couple of decades back, and now it seems as if that period is returning. How would you categorize the current relationship between both nations?
In two words, it's Cold War.
Yes.
But our relations are really bad, and we see that we would like good relations, and our establishment want we can to cooperate in many areas like before. Why not? But we see that some political groups and lobby groups in the United States just to organize many provocations. They arrest Russian citizens in the United States. They impose sanctions against Russian companies and citizens. They to do something like. For example, to engage strategic alliance like North Atlantic Treaty Organization and to organize maneuvers just close to Russian borders. And the coup in Ukraine in 2014 also was organized by United States mostly. Just to remember what Victoria Nuland, she is neocon, conservative from United States, told to American ambassador in Kiev. American ambassador told, so we must to discuss this issue with European nations about Ukrainian crisis. Till now, conflict, bloody conflict in some regions close to Russian border. Can you imagine that in May of 2014, just in one day, in few hours, more than 100 people were killed, burned alive in a house in Odessa city by neo-Nazi groups, and police just stay behind and do nothing. It will happen in Ukraine, nobody knows. I think in Pakistan people not familiar with it. Even in Kashmir, I think it's not possible that more than 100 people killed in one day only. So it also was the reason Russia to support a referendum in Crimea region, because it was a real threat that neo-Nazi gangs and with support of a new pro-Western government come to the organized bloody repressions. So I think Russia do very smart actions, and Crimea now is a Russian region and people live in prosperity there. And till now, I think that United States have kind of resentment against Russia and also looking for new kind of subversive actions in economics, in politics, diplomatical pressure and so on. If they can do it openly, they just to engage some kind of special services and to provoke action through terrorist organizations, maybe in Middle East also in Russian region, they can do it because they are very experienced in many countries. Also in Asia region and also in Latin America countries.
In this current context, in this current global and regional scenario, how important is it to have a multipolar world?
I think that the multipolar world is answer to organize all political system to believe in peace, because there will be responsible power for this kind of activity. And just look on regions. People have own customs there, own traditions. They are rooted in centuries. We cannot impose just idea of British parliament system in Africa, for example, and to impose idea of two-party system like in UK or United States, because in other countries there are other traditions, and they can to follow our tradition and just to use our philosophical ideas and put it into politics. So in any regions we see many different cultural differences, and we cannot to kind of eliminate these traditions. It must be inclusive. And for example, in China they follow our and Confucian ideas, imposed, mixed with Mao ideas, and now new kind of Chinese capitalism. In Russia also we follow our traditions that rooted in our history. And I think the same is valid for Pakistan and for other countries in many regions. Of course, United States also a very powerful country and may be responsible, for example, for Euro-Atlantic community. Why not?
All right. When we talk about a multipolar world, how important is the growing relationship or the friendship that exists between Russia, Pakistan, China?
I think this triangle may be very useful because actually all three countries are multicultural. We have a multi-religious society. And we have a difference. Pakistan is mostly Islamic, Russian is mostly Orthodox, and Chinese is kind of Confucianism and Buddhism country. And all three countries are nuclear powers. So we can to use our political system, our ideas, and our resources just to unite and to organize another approach for international relations. But India also may be engaged.
All right. You feel that India could be engaged as well. Now, speaking of India, Russia now is forging a relationship with Pakistan that is growing from strength to strength, but it was a very strong ally of India as well in the past. How does Russia, in your point of view, being an expert on international relations, is balancing this act between the relationship with Pakistan and that with India?
At first, India was not ally of Russia, and also India was not ally of Soviet Union. India was the founder of non-alignment movement. We have just good relation, and because of some political groups in India also follows Marxism ideas. And India was a customer of Russian weapon system. Until now, they take a lot of weapon from Russia. And now I think it will balance it, like in Middle East. We have normal relations with Saudi Arabia. At the same time, we have normal relations with Qatar and normal relations with Islamic Republic of Iran. The same may be used for Asia region.
Speaking of Iran, and of course, I'd like to include Turkey as well. How much do you feel would be the importance, or is the importance, of these two countries in also securing a multipolar world?
At first, we cooperate about Syrian crisis with Turkey and with Iran. Also, we cooperate because of terrorism threats. And before, many years ago, we cooperated with Iran and, when there was some kind of conflict in the North Caucasus region, also organized by the West. And what is important, Turkey has own idea of Eurasia, because it's between Asia and between Europe. It differs from Russian point of view, but we can to engage these political ideas and to mix it. And now we have good relations with Turkish establishment. We cooperate in many areas. We built atomic station, atomic plant there. Turkish pipeline will work soon. And Turkish goods also come to Russia. The same with Iran. We cooperate in many areas, in gas, in economics, in trade, and also in touristic service.
All right. Now, let's come to Pakistan and Russia and the relationship that we have, a relationship that now is growing stronger as we speak. Now, trade is not that much between the two countries. Defense ties, on the other hand, have been strong between Russia and Pakistan. Also, there have been high-profile visits between both countries, and there's that need to forge a stronger relationship in different fields. What are the fields, in your point of view, Leonid, that could be worked upon between both countries to make this a strategic hub?
At first, Russia already investment to gas pipeline to Pakistan. Before was signed agreement about
the Casa 1000 project
about
also.
Russian investment, yes, and Russia can to provide sophisticated weapon system to Pakistan and some kind of dual purpose things. It also will be very good. Russia can to provide education service to Pakistan, especially engineering and some technical science. And we need more cooperation in the civil sector, I mean public diplomacy, so people can to know each other more better.
When you speak of public diplomacy, that means, of course, people-to-people contact. How important is it to better the friendship between Russia and Pakistan? Because we do hear of Russians coming to Pakistan, or Pakistan is going to Russia, like you're here, of course. But we don't hear them as often as we should. How can we work on that?
First of all, we have not direct flights to Pakistan.
That's
from Russia. So it's very important to organize it from Moscow, maybe from other cities, to Islamabad, to Karachi, maybe to Lahore. Second, it will be constant relations between our universities and some institutions. Not only just visits of scholars and for conferences, but it may be a joint project for a year, for a few years, for decades maybe. It will be very good just for organized background, some kind of basis for our relations. And example of other countries give that it's work, this kind of activity.
When it comes to China backing Pakistan, it is backing Pakistan as far as the CPEC project is concerned. It also backed Pakistan's bid for the Shanghai Cooperation Organization membership as well. Do you feel that Russia has now come to realize the importance of Pakistan, or did it always know that Pakistan was an important player in this region?
As I told, we have not enough respect of Pakistan inside of Russian establishment. Second, in some directions, Russia going slowly because many countries around us, and we have some kind of inertia, because before we cooperated mostly with European Union, with United States, and now we look more to the east than on west.
All right.
And try to organize to be more closely to each other.
So Leonard Seven says we're going to look a bit more towards east, and that is why they're looking towards new friends, friends such as Pakistan. We're going for a short break. We'll be back to talk more about Russia-Pakistan relations. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You're watching Diplomatic Enclave, and I'm your host, Umar Khalid Butt, and we're discussing the whole gamut of relationship between Pakistan and Russia in this new multipolar world order, and also how important is it for both countries to forge a stronger relationship and to look after each other's interests in this current world scenario. We've been joined by Leonard Seven. Leonard, before the break, we were talking about, of course, the gamut of Pak-Russia relationship. One other aspect of that relationship is Afghanistan. Now, Pakistan, as well as Afghanistan, are part of the Afghan peace process. Both countries want that peace comes back to Afghanistan, and it should be Afghan-owned and Afghan-led. How do you view these processes of the peace process between Russia, Pakistan, and other countries?
This month, we have very important date, 30 years of the withdrawal of Soviet troops from Afghanistan. Actually, it was not occupation, because Soviet troops invited by official government of Afghanistan. And we very well experienced it, what Afghanistan is it. And we see that any kind of military decision not work there. It's not possible just to use any kind of forces to enforce Afghan people to build a kind of new state, like United States tried to do it for many years. So they failed. And we promote peace process in Afghanistan, and Moscow proposed platform for this dialogue. And from geopolitical point of view, Afghanistan is very important because it's close to Central Asian countries. And we built a Eurasian Economical Union, and we would like to secure region around, also including Afghanistan. So it's very important for us, this peace process. And from point of view of economics, Afghanistan maybe develop own resources. Let's see what happens during the American occupation, that drugs, or mostly opium, come to Europe and also through Russia. And it have very bad impact on Russian society. And there's a lot of opportunity to start agriculture sector and for mining and etc. So Russia can't to invest in Afghanistan later, after the peace process.
All right. Leonid, do you feel that now that the U.S. administration has decided in principle to retract the U.S. troops from Afghanistan, that it would eventually happen? And if it does, how long will it take for Afghanistan to establish itself on its own?
I think because American government is very covert, there may be another kind of option. They will withdraw official troops, American soldiers, but they will put private mercenaries to Afghanistan for different reasons, just to clean money and something like that. They to invest in own paramilitary organization in Afghanistan. So they are very well experienced how to organize corruption in Afghanistan for decades. And now we see people of Afghanistan not like government because they are corrupted by Americans. So if they will withdraw troops, they can to put mercenaries to there. Maybe not, I don't know.
All right.
But from American logic, probably they will put.
All right, but it's a wait and see policy. We can only see how it all develops with time. But both Russia and Pakistan are very sincere in developing Afghanistan so that it becomes a stronger state by itself, because it's in the interest of both countries that Afghanistan becomes a peaceful state, for China-Pakistan economic corridor, for trade relations to be established between the whole corridor. It's important that Afghanistan stabilizes itself. Now, Leonid, in this whole context, in the whole warfare scenario, nowadays, the conventional warfare is a thing of the past. Now we talk about cyber warfare, hybrid warfare. And you've written specifically on it. What is hybrid warfare?
Hybrid warfare is a concept mostly used by Western military and politician analysts. It's a kind of idea that maybe mix of tools of influence, not military, but also diplomacy, economics, public relations, media, and so on. They may be united for political purposes. And I think that Western powers already use it, the hybrid warfare, but they claim that Russia used it, but Russia never used it before, and never used for the moment. We have a strong our military forces, and we try to protect our society for this kind of attacks, and also from information attacks against cyber tools and so on. And for example, cyber war, what is it? Originally, the term was coined by Greek philosopher Plato. Kybernet or cybernet is a political ruler. So it's an idea not only about internet. Internet also important. And for example, world governance of internet, we have two camps. One camp is Western, and another camp is Russia, also Pakistan in this camp, because we would like to protect our society. We about idea of sovereignty of internet. And I think it's very important, because informatization of our society, globalization, and so on. And now we see that the United States mostly control cyberspace. Because, for example, security certificates for websites mostly issued by American companies, and only one Chinese company can give you this kind of certificate. So if some media to start write some negative news about the United States, for example, American company can to withdraw certificate and people cannot to visit the sites. So it's very important.
All right. In this whole cyber warfare and hybrid warfare, do the whole network of spying still exist? We know that we have found one Indian spy that was found from Balochistan. We have captured him, and he made some very startling revelations about the whole network of RAW in Pakistan and how it was operating in Pakistan. Do you feel the whole spying network is still think of the present, or is it slowly fading away to pave the way for hybrid warfare and cyber warfare?
Yes, I think it still exists, and it's implemented in different kind of tools. And there is also a term of net war or network warfare. It exists, and diplomats and representative of civic society may be used for this kind of activity. It's not only about Pakistan, India, it's also about any country.
And how do you feel that countries such as Pakistan and Russia can work together to jointly eliminate all forms of terrorism, all forms of extremism, and issues that plague our races, our societies, in your point of view as a Russian?
I see that we can join our efforts and to change experience. And we invited a representative of NACTA to the conference. I personally invited to the counterterrorism conference in the Dagestan Republic last year. So this process is in way. And we can
share each other's experiences as well to understand each other better and how the whole process of it goes forward, so that we can eliminate the lacunas that exist.
Yes, because terroristic organizations also sharing experience. And we must be forward of this kind of extremist groups.
Speaking of ties between Russia and Pakistan, we have the strategic ties that started to become really strong since 2013. Then we've got the friendship exercises between both our militaries that happened, also between our navies. The Aman 27 exercise happened as well. Slowly and steadily, our defense ties are also gaining stronghold in the region. How important is it for two important countries such as Pakistan and Russia to have strong defense ties?
At first, it is important because of trust between countries. Second, experience for special experience for military personnel. And we have different weather conditions and landscape conditions. And because of maybe some kind of peacemaking operations or some disaster relief operations, we need such kind of experience. And you know, Russia has a very good experience to provide disaster relief, humanitarian aid to the many countries, as I included the United States. And we must be prepared, and I think that this activities will be very useful for the future, for both countries.
You've talked about social and humanitarian cooperation in Eurasia. You've written about it. You've also written about traditional and family values in contemporary Russia. How common are they with those values that you find in families in Pakistan?
At first, we both, Russia and Pakistan, reject this kind of postmodernism pseudo-values like LGBT. And in the West and European countries, and mostly in the States, there is kind of a governmental agenda just to put LGBT into societies. And we see that in France, for example, and other countries, there mass protest against it. And Russia still kept our traditional values, and state provide support to young families. And unfortunately, we still have such phenomena like abortions in Russia. Russian Orthodox Church is strongly against any kind of abortions because it depends on God. God give you a child and you must to keep this child.
All right. Speaking of, from of course, family values, we can only relate to culture. There are cultural ties between Fez, poets like Fez, who are also extremely revered in Russia. He was called by Russia as one of our own, was given the Lenin Prize as well. Anwar Maqsood Saab is also translated into the Russian language and is somebody who's revered. How can both countries also work together to improve their cultural relations, in your point of view? Do you feel we should do more?
No, I think more books must be translated in Pakistan and in Russia, issue it, publish it, and we can also cooperate in the cinema sector. For example, Pakistan made to propose some interesting cinemas and films.
We have an emerging cinema that is coming up since the last couple of years in Pakistan. Russian cinema is excellent. It's a very different form of cinema, just like the Iranian cinema. It could be dark, but it's really commercial, but it has a very strong, how should I put, screenplay or content and acting and direction. And I think Pakistan and the Pakistani film industry could also learn from the Russian experience, and maybe both of them could work together on projects.
Yes, of course. It must be a signed agreement between our ministries. Why not? I think it will be very useful because last years Russia had cinemas and Western production from Hollywood and similar studios from the United States. We would like to balance.
All right. That I hope that does get balanced. RT, your state channel, PTV, our state channel, could also work together. You're a documentary filmmaker as well. You've worked on interesting topics. You're here to work on one as well during this visit. But do you feel that our makers could get together? We could maybe exchange shows or have collaborative trainings together to understand each other's values, how each other's working process, and maybe collaborate together?
Yes, I'm very positive about future cooperation between our cinema, studios, TV station, radio, and some in the media sectors. And I think Russia needs more real news, more facts, more opinions from Pakistan, and the same Pakistan need more opinions and kind of evaluation, analysis from the Russian media.
All right. Do you feel, in your point of view, that people in Pakistan could be interested by the Russian language? Because to me, being a Pakistani, the Russian language seems a very difficult language. To you, being a Russian, is Urdu also as difficult as to me, maybe Russian might be?
Yes, of course, and also because of script, alphabet is different. But I think some experts and maybe students, we have, of course, some sectors, some departments who interested in Pakistan culture, Pakistan tradition, language, and so on. So maybe to enlarge this kind of activity.
All right. Sir, in this present government scenario, our current prime minister also met his Russian counterpart, Dmitry Medvedev, in November last year, and they talked about strengthening bilateral relations and strategic cooperation between Pakistan and Russia. And they said that the CPEC could be a vital link to forge further that strategic relationship. What is your point of view on that? Yes. China-Pakistan economic corridor and fostering of strategic relationship between Pakistan and Russia. Do you feel that can be that angle where both countries could work together?
Yes, I think it will be some one of pillar of our cooperation, but we can to cooperate in more areas than only the CPEC corridor.
All right. And what in your point of view, you've visited, this is your third visit to Pakistan. You've met people, you've talked to different think tanks in Pakistan as well, understood their point of view, and narrated your point of view as well. Is there a commonality of point of views of the different think tanks, of the different philosophers in Pakistan and Russia? And if there is, on which points do they think alike and in which points do they diversify?
At first, I am very grateful to all people who invited me in Pakistan. Last time I was invited by Institute of Strategic Studies and Ministry of Information Broadcasting, and we have joint projects. And this idea to write a book of about Pakistan, about society, about political system, because we have a lack of this information. Maybe some books released 10 years ago and before, during the Soviet times. And I'm very grateful to all people I met during my all visits in Pakistan, and I'm grateful for hospitality. And your country is beautiful, culture is very interesting. I think more Russian people need to come to Pakistan to see by our eyes what happens.
All right, and finally, how do you view the future of the relationship between Pakistan and Russia? Your point of view, what are the angles where both countries need to work more? And which are the points, which are those strategies that we need to fortify or strengthen in the times to come?
We have different types of decision-making process on high political level in Pakistan and in Russia. But I think it's possible to unite efforts and just to analyze what happens. And for my opinion, there will be some decisions in administration of president and ministries to organize more cooperation with Pakistan. And I see that from Pakistan, there also window of opportunity to work more closely with Russia.
All right. And do you feel that both countries could be important partners, apart from defense and strategic point of views, in other fields as well? Trade, for example, this is one thing that both countries lack in as far as forging that relationship is concerned.
Yes, trade, economics, but first trust. We must to implement trust between our countries.
All right. Trust is very important between both countries, and it is due to this trust that has been developing since the last couple of years between Pakistan and Russia and will continue to develop, that countries as important in the region as Pakistan and Russia will form a strategic alliance, if not a current, but a stronger strategic and political alliance in the future. It's very important for the region. It's very important for the balancing of powers that be as well in the region, for both countries, Russia and Pakistan, to prosper and to prosper together. I'll end with two important quotes. First was by the Russian ambassador that he said some time back. He said that Pakistan is a very, very important party, not only in the regional stability, but also in the stability worldwide. It's our very valuable partner in tackling challenges and threats such as terrorism, illegal drug trafficking, and others. And our countries face similar challenges and threats to national security. And also a very important writer who writes normally on Russia-Pakistan relations, Andrew Korybko, said that it has taken a couple of years to happen, but what at one time was regarded as a political fantasy is now in the process of becoming a political reality, the prospect for a genuine Russian-Pakistani strategic partnership. We can only wish and pray for that. Leonid Seven, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next time, same channel, with another guest. Take care of yourselves.